is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Jonathan Sippas, head women's basketball coach at the University of Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Sometimes we forget to ask the kids what they need and what they're going through. Like, what were the things that they thought were keeping them from having success? And then they started to get really honest, like what they weren't doing. So now it helped me. So now when I got back to my office that night and I stayed in really, really late, just writing out thoughts and notes, because now they help give me a really clean plan of the things I needed to address immediately.
Welcome to episode one of our Hoopheads podcast series called Mentality with Dwayne Killings, season one at UAlbany, that will document Dwayne's first year as the head men's basketball coach at the University of Albany. We plan to record and release 2 to 4 episodes per month with Dwayne and or his players, coaches, administrators, media members, and others associated with the Great Danes basketball program to get an inside look at what being a first-year head coach at the Division I level is all about. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Our roster of shows is growing, so don't forget to check out all our other podcasts on the Hoopheads Pod Network, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, Courtside Culture, and our team-focused NBA podcasts, Cavalier Central, Knuck If You Buck, 305 Culture, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, Spanning the Spurs, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, Lakers Fast Break, and At the Buzzer. We're looking for more NBA podcasters interested in hosting their own show centered on a particular team. Email us info@hoopheadspod.com if you're interested in learning more and bringing your talent to our network. Get ready to go behind the scenes with us as we talk with Dwayne Killings about his first few weeks as the head men's basketball coach at the University of Albany. Hello, and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight, we are tipping off a very special series of Hoopheads podcasts that are going to go on throughout the next year, because we are pleased to welcome back to the podcast the head coach from the University of Albany, Dwayne Killings, who is beginning his first season as a head coach at the Division I level. And we are going to plan to follow Dwayne throughout this entire year with a series of podcasts talking about his experiences as a first-time head coach at the Division I level. Dwayne, welcome back to the Hoopheads Pod.
Thanks, man. It's great to be here. I'm excited to partner with you guys And hopefully, you know, just by seeing into our world and what we're trying to do, you know, here at UAlbany, hopefully people will find great interest in our program, and hopefully the story will connect to other people's journeys. And what I would love to do is anybody that wants to be a part of what we're doing or wants to hear about what we're doing, reach out to our staff, reach out to me, hit me up on social media, because we're going to do some fun stuff. But I love to kind of hear how people are receiving our program and what they think.
We are thrilled that you've been willing to kind of open your door to allow us to see behind the scenes of what goes on inside of a Division I program. And we're going to hopefully get inside your mind too, and what's going on as we get into the off season, the in season, all the things that go on, coaches meetings and trips and travel and dealing with alumni and parents and players. And just, we couldn't be more excited that you are willing and able to be able to do this with us. So this is the first step on that journey. So let's go back to the first moment where this job opens up and you decide that it's a job that you want to pursue. Just give us an idea of how you became aware of the opening, why you decided that it was something that would be a good fit for you, and just how the process started.
Yeah, somebody texted me when everything happened and just wrote, you know, Albany ? And, I remember coaching in the America East when I was working for Pat Chambers at BU. And when we came here to play against Albany, and we got here, and I was so impressed with the excitement for the team. I mean, there was, the building had a nice buzz to it. People cared. And I didn't know that when we got here. And it's just something that you mark in your mind. And then, you know, over the years, you watch, you know, Will Brown's teams. I mean, he had really good teams. I mean, competitive. They were tough. They were gritty. They won, obviously. They got to the tournament. When you're looking at opportunities for me, you know, when I was thinking about trying to become a head coach, it was about fit. You know, so where did it fit for me? You know, obviously, my career has taken me through the Northeast. You know, I spent 3 years at Marquette working for Steve Wojciechowski. But what I knew and from a recruiting perspective and just a program perspective was working in the Northeast corridor. So it checked that box. It was in a community where people really cared about college basketball. Albany in the Capital Region, they're crazed about college basketball. Whether there's an NCAA tournament game in town, they go. You know, they go to games at CNN, they go to games at our place. So that checked that box. And then there was great alignment when I did some research between the president, President Rodriguez, Mark Benson, and the basketball program, because they wanted to make sure that they were connected to that program, because I think they feel like it's the heartbeat of the university. So it checked that box. And then it was a really good fit for my family. You know, I got two kids. My wife's from New York City. I think it's a great place to raise a family. It's close for my wife to get home for her, where she grew up. It's 2 hours away. We got family in Massachusetts. My parents are an hour and a half. So I thought it was a really good place for this moment in my life, if I had a chance at leadership. And then the more I dug into it, the more people said, like, that's where you should go. And I'll tell you, when I, you know, you get the job, you fly in, and there's all these things going through your mind. But I got on stage, and when I looked up, like, and this is not like just a line, it's the honest truth. Like, I was like, this is where I belong. And when I felt like that, excuse me, it was so easy to articulate the vision and do all the things you have to do at a press conference, because you know you belong there. It's the fit. It gives you confidence. And I love the place. The place has embraced me. It's given me an opportunity, you know, that I've always wanted. And now it's time to get to work. And it's time to make sure that our program represents the university and the community the right way.
When you stepped into the interview process, what were some of the questions that you felt were important that you needed to have answered to make sure that the job was the right one for you?
Really good question. You know, I wanted to know what the expectations were here, to make sure they fit. And, you know, one of the things that Mark Benson, our athletic director here, you know, asked me was like, how are you going to impact the community? And that matters to me. Like, we live great lives doing this. And I learned this from Coach Dunphy, you know, how important it is to give back. And you got to be authentic about it. I mean, you can't just go do one event and leave. Like, you got to make that part of who you are and what you do, because you ask a lot of people to support your program, to come out. You got to give back. You know, there's a lot of kids that need to see your players because it gives them hope. And then also, you know, your program's a lot for a school. I mean, it helps brand the institution, if you will. And I think you got to make sure you could guard that. So I thought when he asked me about those questions and we talked about the community, I thought there was a great alignment in our philosophies. And then, you know, we're dealing with a crazy moment in the world when you're trying to deal through the pandemic and all the social injustice stuff. And when, you know, Mark started to dig into what we did for Coaches for Action, I thought it was such a well-rounded place because they cared about all the social issues. They cared about kids. They cared about basketball. So instead of being questions, it became conversations. And once you got into conversations, I knew it was a really good fit for me and for the school.
Beyond the people who sat in on your interview, who's the first person that you talked to outside of the interview process to start to get a feel for what the program was all about? Was the next stop to talk to the kids that were part of the program, to talk to the coaching staff that was in place before? Was it somebody in the community, somebody within the university? Who was the next conversation with once the interview process was over and you were going to take and you knew you were taking the job?
Yeah, I reached out to Paul Hewitt, you know, who did some really good work here when he was the head coach at CN. I wanted to understand, you know, what was his experience about, you know, who are the people that we should reach out to? And then, you know, I actually asked our athletic director, you know, give me five, you know, people in our community that we need to talk to. And that was going to be really important that I reached out to him right away. Obviously, the players and the parents were really, really important. And then, you know, I took a step back and actually took a thought. And Frank Ross, who actually, you know, did one of these sessions with you guys, he actually worked here for Will Brown, you know, and Frank and I are really, really close. He's like a big brother to me. So to get his perspective of the program was huge. And he was part of my process as I was learning the school as I was interviewing. But after I got the opportunity, you know, we talked again and I was like, well, you know, who do you need to talk to first? And tell me about the place. And you start to, you know, take your vision and now you got to get to your plan. You know, like now we got to hit it. And he really, really helped me with that. And it's been just tremendous. And then along the way, you know, you start hearing people start giving you more dots to connect and more people to talk to. That's been great. And the best thing about it, there's really, really high level people, really quality people that are associated with the university that really makes it home. It's easy to call it home because of that.
What is the first conversation like with the individual players? Do you meet with the team as a whole first and then break off and have individual meetings with the returning players? How did you go about that process of introducing yourself to the returning players?
Yeah. So I asked a bunch of people what they did first. And like, I'm thinking like, okay, so what do? Do you just go in, you know, with sweatpants? Do you wear a suit? You know, like, how do you want to look? Like that's part of it, you know? And I decided to put a suit on. And I thought immediately when I walked into the room, the kids received me differently because of that. And then I just talked about them, who I was. You know, we talked as a team. You know, I walked in and introduced myself and we talked. And the first thing I did is I asked them, you know, where we were as a program. Where do they think we were in terms of where we fell in the league, how we were as a program in that moment, and then where do they want to go? And they all said they wanted to win an American East Championship. So I drew a big line. I said, okay, let's list all the stuff that we need and all the stuff that we're not doing that keeps us from our goal of winning an American East Championship. And it was great. It took a little while to get them talking, to get them to break, and they really opened up. And I think so many times in my career, there's great people at schools, whether it's in the athletic department or the faculty and staff, that are doing great things for kids. But sometimes we forget to ask the kids what they need and what they're going through. So it was a great exercise for me. And it was something I actually just heard on a podcast from Urban Meyer. And I loved it. And I wrote it down in my book. And you finally open the book up and you get to use it. And you got to make sure these things are right. But it went over great. So now I had what the kids really wanted. Like, what were the things that they thought were keeping them from having success? And then they started to get really honest, like what they weren't doing. So now it helped me. So now when I got back to my office that night and I stayed in really, really late, just writing out thoughts and notes, because now they helped give me a really clean plan of the things I needed to address immediately, because they're the ones doing the work. They're the ones wearing the uniform. They're the ones on campus. So what they need, we have to give them as much as we can and help guide them through that process. So that was really awesome that we could do that. And then, you know, I asked Mark to get me around the different leadership here at the university. We got on a Zoom call and introduced myself. And that was something that I thought was important because we had to make sure we're in this together. And before I got here, I actually, and this is something that somebody told me a long time ago, everybody loves a t-shirt. And I remember working for Coach Dumphy. I remember working for Pat Chambers. And I got this from Pat. You know, the first day he got his job, his family, he had like 10 brothers and sisters. They all walk into the press conference at Penn State and they got these t-shirts on. So I wrote that in my book. So I got my job and I spent some money and had t-shirts, you know, sent here with the word mentality. And that's kind of our root word for our program. And I had them sent here the day I got here. And I've been giving them out ever since because, you know, it's a chance to meet people. People gravitate towards it. People love a free t-shirt, but you get to introduce yourself, tell your story. People remember you because of that. And now I got to pull them back into our program. But we do it, you know, once or twice a week. We go down to the campus center. We hand out t-shirts and introduce ourselves as a staff. But now people start to get to know us a little bit more. And actually, our president sent me a note just saying, like, more and more people are talking about these t-shirts and they got to get a free one. So it's been a small little marketing thing, but it's a big thing as we introduce ourselves to campus.
How many shirts have you given out so far?
We've given out probably 400 shirts. I'm running out and I'm getting low on cash because of it. I told Mark, I was like, you got to help me out now. Now you guys got to give me some t-shirts.
Got to get a t-shirt budget going.
Yeah, I made my investment into the community right when I got here. So I need some help coming back. So
absolutely. All right. So what were one or two of the things that maybe you can share with us that the kids in the program said, hey, these are some things that we need or things that we want or things that we're doing well. What were some of the things that they shared with you?
Yeah, I mean, one of the first things they said is, you know, we want different sneakers. But I get it. You know, what I took from that, though, what I took from that is, you know, they wanted to put themselves into the program a little bit more. You know, they wanted some self-expression. So, again, I said, okay, I get that. And then
different sneakers, like a different brand, or they wanted to be able to wear one guy wears blue, one guy wears purple.
I think they wanted some different Steph Currys. You know, they wanted some different ones, okay. which is cool. You know, I thought that's a thing, you know, and that's important that the kids feel good and confident about who they are and how they look. They talked about social media, you know, and obviously we had a social media plan when we got here. But I think, you know, they see other programs doing it and doing a really good job telling their story. And that's what the kids want. They want to be able to tell their story. You know, they want to post things. Like, this is what the work that we ask of them and that's required to be good. It's hard. But they want to enjoy it and they want to celebrate it. And I said, okay, you know, we'll get to it. But now if we do it, we got to be one of the best in our league at social media. Like, we should be set. If we're going to do it, we got to do it the right way. And they've been really good. We started to post stuff and they've been reposting it. I thought that was really important. You know, we also talked about, you know, communication. I told them that, like, my expectation is that we communicate the right way. And that's everything from the times that we're practicing, if we're text messaging, how we're communicating back to each other. You know, I said, like, to win our league, we have to do certain things a certain kind of way. And there's going to be an expectation that comes with that. And they all were super receptive to it. And I told them, you know, I want them to be the most confident guys that they can be when they walk in the gym. Because they got to believe in themselves. They got to believe in what they're doing. They got to believe in our program. They got to believe in me and the rest of the coaches. Because that's the mentality that we're trying to create. And as we talked, I started to tell them more about what mentality meant for us and our program and why I use that word and why they see it on t-shirts and why they'll see it branded around the offices and the arena. Because, again, Will did a great job with the program. I just want to change the mentality for us and what we're trying to do. And they got to embrace it. And I also, you know, one of the things they asked right away was, you know, what are your plans for the team? And I said, nothing. You know, I said, we're not going to bring in any recruits. We're not going to do anything until we learn you. And it's important for me that we spend time with each individual player. Got a chance to work with them on the court because they got to get to know me and I got to get to know them. And then from there, we start to build the future for our program. But that's only fair for those guys.
So We talked a little bit before we jumped on about your mind kind of going a million miles an hour and wanting to do everything in a day. And obviously, that's not possible. So when you look back at your first couple of weeks on the job, what's something that you want to get done eventually, but that you've had to kind of put on the back burner because there's other more pressing things that are calling for your attention, if that question makes sense?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, because you get this opportunity and it wakes you up, you know, gets you out of the bed really early. And then you run all day and all night because you're excited. You know, we get to practice. And, you know, I said to somebody today, you know, today's practice, I felt like I was preparing for, you know, the game tomorrow morning. But you're excited. You know, it's your program. It's your gym. You got a key. And you want to do everything today. But it's been great that the kids are receptive to it. I don't know if there's anything necessary that we put on the back burner, but you're trying to meet everybody tomorrow morning. And, you know, they're going to redo the offices. We put all the old stuff out in the hallway because we want to get it done today. We're excited. And we also want to put our print on the program. And also we want to make it an inviting space for our staff and for our players. You know, as you ask the question, I'm trying to think a little bit deeper. What have I put on the back? You know, the thing I have done, and this hasn't been good. And everybody, Mike Boynton sent me a note, and he told me to make sure I take care of myself. And because, you know, you get in this routine as an assistant coach, and you know, you go and you work and you meet and you work out. I like to work out. You know, I think I eat pretty healthy. Well, since this, I haven't slept well, haven't ate well, and I haven't been working out. But I think it's important. Like, you see, it's a great job, and I love it. It's a great life, but it can grind you down. You got to take care of yourself. And Mike was like, you got to find your sweet spot. Is it in the afternoon? Is it in the morning? You know, how do you do what you do? But you got to take care of you because, you know, you're the kind of the engine for the program. And you kind of, you know, help set the tone of what you're going to do. And if you can't do it, then the engine ain't going to run right. So that's some of the stuff that I think about, and I'm trying to find that spot. And the more guys I talk to, they say the same thing. I mean, you know, it can take a while, and it can wear you down. So, you know, you got to make sure you take care of yourself. And that's what I'm probably trying to do, because I think, you know, you're trying to do everything for the program. You're trying to get your staff hired, trying to get your family situated. And it ends up just happening. Like, the day just goes really, really fast. And you look up and you haven't worked out, you haven't eaten. But I'll do a better job with that. I have to. You know, I owe it to the players. I owe it to my family. So we got to do that.
Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time. So to go along with that, how do you make sure, what are the conversations like with your wife? Because you have a young family, and obviously your wife knows what goes on with you being an assistant coach, and she's seen and been around you and been around basketball programs. So what's that conversation like when you're making a decision to go to the University of Albany, and then just knowing that, at least at the beginning especially, that you are going to be going a million miles an hour? How do you make sure that you create that balance, not only with your family, but as you said, with yourself? Just what are those conversations like between you and your wife?
Yeah, for me, when we were going through the interview process, I mean, she was, you know, especially in the conversations where you're kind of recapping with, you know, your circle, I call it my cabinet, my crew, she's hearing everything. And then she's like, well, who was that? And who said this? And, you know, she's trying to connect all the dots. And then I'm like, hold on, I got to get another phone call. But, you know, I think as she heard more about it, she heard how excited I was, and she heard me say how great of a fit it was. She started doing her own research. Then she started being like, okay, are we getting the job? You know, what's the detail? Like, when is he going to call? She was all in. And one of the best things, my kids are young, so they're still in school. So they're going to be in Milwaukee until the end of June. So it gives me some runway to be here and kind of focus on things here. And we, you know, we start the day off and I usually FaceTime them, which is really good. And I try to get them again before bed. And then, you know, we text and send emails as we're communicating all the things we have to do. But she gets it. And, you know, she understands I got to get things to a certain point. Then we got to get them here, you know, and then we got to create a home here in Albany. And I think one of the things she's consumed in is finding a house. So I kind of got the basketball office piece and she's got the house piece. So she's consumed in that part. And then we got to sell our house. So she's got a bunch of things that she's got to do there. So we're pretty task oriented. And then we huddle up, we take our timeouts, you know, we get our game plan and we go out and we execute. So we got our thing going. It's been pretty good. I'm really excited. My family's going to be out here next week on Monday for about a week and we'll try to find a house, you know, which is, you have to get that right. I mean, it's got to be really good for my family, for my kids, trying to find the right school district, trying to find the right community for me and my wife, trying to find a home that's inviting for our team. I'm hoping that we can get people on our campus and our community around, you know, my family and I, so we can do some cool events. So I'm hoping we can find the right place that's inviting enough to be able to do those things. And that's key because home is everything. Your home base, it's got to be right. It's got to be right for everybody involved. But I'm excited to get them here and get around the people. And I say that Albany was a great fit because they embraced my family and I. And the things that they did for our press conference, like anybody that hasn't seen it, and I don't say that just because I, you know, they gave me the job here. This isn't like a, let me praise them because they gave me an opportunity. Like, the press conference was high level, man. They did a great job with that. It was so detailed. There was a video in it. The presentation, it popped. I think our AD said it got like over 600,000 impressions, which is pretty impressive, especially for a program of our size. They do really good work here because they care. But they didn't make it just about me. They made it about my family. They made it about the circle of people that have helped me, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you have the support of the administration, we all know no matter what level you're coaching at, if you have a supportive administration that understands and wants to be successful with whatever their program is, whether it's basketball or it could be another sport or whatever it may be, but when they're invested in it, they're taking the time to put something together like they put together for you in the press conference, that makes all the difference in the world because now you know that you have somebody behind you that it's now a team effort. It's not just Dwayne Killings on his own trying to rebuild this program. You've got an entire team of people behind you. So to go along with that, how do you go ahead and put together a staff? What's that process look like? How do you start reaching out to the people that you know in the business? What do you do with guys that were a part of the staff previously, which obviously can always be something that, you know, can get a little bit dicey when you start talking about guys you know, guys you don't know. So just talk about putting together the staff, what that looks like.
Yeah, so, you know, you got to get that right. And I talked to a lot of people about how they built their staff. The first person that I hired was Matt Griffin, who was a kid that I coached. Oh, I shouldn't say a kid anymore, but he was a young man that I coached at Boston University. And, you know, I've watched him grow. You know, he was a head coach at Roman Catholic High School in Philadelphia. His father was a head coach at Siena. His brother's an assistant, was a head coach at Siena. His brother's the assistant at St. Joe's in Philly. And, I mean, he's an amazing kid. He's got great energy. He's loyal. He's positive. He's a great teacher. Like, I'd go in that gym in Philly and you'd have assistants from, you know, every school in the country, you know, Maryland, Marquette, UConn, Temple, LaSalle, St. Joe's, and you have, you know, Virginia Tech. You have like head coaches in the gym. And Matt did an unbelievable job running his practices, preparing his team. That's a lot of pressure, you know, for a young coach to have guys in your gym of that caliber watching you do what you do. And everybody will walk away so impressed. And I said to him, if I get an opportunity, I want to hire you. And he was the first call I made. And it was also because as we build this program, I want to make sure that we can give our guys opportunities. You know, I don't know how many, like, we can't hire every kid when they graduate, they want to get into coaching, but we can help them. And I think our program has access to strong relationships and can help people get through doors that maybe they can't get through But I thought it was really important to hire Matt because he was prepared and he was ready and he wanted the opportunity. But also I want to be able to say as a head coach, you know, not only am I telling you we can create opportunities, like there's proof in what I'm saying. And I think sometimes people say things that they don't really mean. Like, we're doing it here at Albany. Then the second guy I hired was Hamlet Tibbs. And he was an assistant at Vermont. He recruited some high-level guys in their program. You know, he's impacted winning at Vermont, you know, in terms of their culture, what they do off the court, the players that they recruited. And, you know, he and I had a relationship that were pretty close. And, you know, when we talked about the opportunity here, like Albany's home for him. So that meant a lot. I think that, you know, he's hoping that he can help me be the head coach I want to be, but then also I can help him be the assistant coach he wants to be. So he took the opportunity. That was huge because, you know, he's kind of like our barometer, right? Like, you know, is this kid the right guy for our program? Because we've both recruited kind of different talent pools over the last few years. So he's been awesome to be here. He's so positive. He's great on campus. He's great with the guys, working them out, you know, helping them understand what we're trying to do, trying to get the buy-in. And then what I did was I said, now I want to get on campus and I want to be with these two guys. I want to be with our players and figure out what's the next best thing for our program from a personnel standpoint. I didn't want to just hire everybody and show up. It was important that, you know, we gave guys opportunities to come on campus or meet with me and interview and talk about their vision. I mean, there's some guys, really good coaches out here, high school coaches, guys that I'm close with in the business, guys that just want an opportunity that I wanted to talk to, and I wanted to give them that opportunity. And then, you know, it put me in a tough spot because, you know, I got to pick one guy, you know, to fill out the staff from an assistant perspective. And that's really hard. I mean, that telling people no is one of the harder things I've had to do. And I remember talking to Bruiser Flint. He's like, it's going to be painful. And it's hard because, you know, like guys believe in you. They want to be a part of it. And then you kind of crush them. And that's hard to do. I mean, that's really hard because people gave me an opportunity. So I'm like, I want to help them, but I can't help everybody. It doesn't work that way. So that's kind of how we've attacked the staff. And also I wanted to make Mark Benson, our AD, a part of the process. I want to tell him who I'm looking at, who I'm thinking about, because it's got to be a partnership. We got to do this together. It's got to be great alignment. We got to keep that. We got to be a team. So I wanted to help him be a part of that process as well.
How important is it to you as an African-American getting a head Division I job to be able to sort of lead the way and be able to set yourself up as somebody who is going to excel in the profession, to pave the way? Maybe not necessarily, again, as you said, you can't help every single person become a part of your staff, but we know with what you're trying to do with Coaches for Action and just the pride that you have in the person that you are, how does that sort of impact the way you think about what you're doing day to day?
Yeah, so I said it in my press conference. I've had a dream to be a head basketball coach of a Division I program, and I'm living it. So, and I said that to our players and to my children. And it's really important to me because I can tell anybody, you know, and this is not like a fake line. This is real. You can live your dream. It's possible. I'm doing it, right? And I lived it, and I got to this point a certain kind of way. You know, I kind of got through it differently than others because I didn't have the basketball career in terms of, you know, being a McDonald's All-American, let's say, or going to a Final Four. I didn't have that. But, you know, I had a plan. I learned. I was really intentional. I built relationships. I listened. And people have helped me along the way, helped me grow, helped me become a leader. And now I'm in this opportunity. As a young black head coach, I mean, it's a pretty cool moment, you know, for guys like me that are getting these opportunities. For me at our program, there's a lot of guys that want opportunities. I mean, Ben Johnson's a close friend. I'm so excited for him that he got his. Kyle Neptune's a close, close friend. I'm super excited for him as well. For all of us, we got to do this right because we got to make sure the next group of guys get their opportunity. And it has to be the right person at the institution that's making the hire. But we represent a lot, and we got to get this right. So I carry that with me every time I walk in the gym, every time I walk into a meeting. Like, that's huge because if we do it right, the next guy is going to get his opportunity. I love Mike Boynton. You know, he calls and checks on me. Shaka Smart shot me a text. I don't really know him. He just said, hey, I'm here. I'm willing to help you if you need me. Jamion Christian, same thing. I don't know him. I've never really talked to him. But he calls me the other day. Hey, I want to talk to you. Give me some ideas. That's huge. That's really impactful for me to know you got that kind of support. But it motivates me because I got to make sure this goes right, you know, for everybody involved. And also, there's a bunch of people, and I've said it a bunch. There's a bunch of people that have helped me get to where I am and helped me get this opportunity. I have to do it right for them because they put their word out there for me. They said they got they have my back. I carry that with me everywhere I go. And it's not something that I'm just saying. It's something that, again, it motivates me every morning. And that's why, you know, it's almost 11 o'clock Eastern. Like, you guys are a part of it. Like, we did a Zoom before. That really helped me. And to be honest with me, Mark Benson listened to it. And as he prepared to interview me, so I owe it to you guys because you guys are part of my journey. You're part of the reason why I got this job. That's why we're on the Zoom.
Well, I think you're maybe overstating our importance in your journey, but we appreciate it. I understand what you're saying. And I think...
No, let me just say it. Like, there's a lot of different people that have impacted my life in a lot of ways. And I don't think people pay attention to that enough. Like, you never know what could happen. Like, I got really lucky to get to where I am. I took a chance on myself. I got an internship. I had two choices, to walk in there with a polo on or put on a suit. I got my opportunities. I put on a suit that day. And, you know, doing this Zoom helped me develop. It may be a really small thing, but it's a big thing. And if our AD listened to it and he gravitated to my story, and there was parts of that story that I told that he brought up on my interview. So you guys are a part of it. And I mean it. And it's, I think sometimes we lose sight of how sometimes things just happen for a reason. You guys are part of it. And I'm bringing you through this part of our journey here at UAlbany because it matters.
Well, I do think that piece of it is 100% true, that you never know who along the way is going to help you. You never know who along the way that you can help. And I think it's something just about the way that you live your life, and forget about basketball coaching or podcasting or whatever it is that you do full time. I think it's just who you are as a human being and the people that you touch as you go along the way. And when you touch those people in the right way and you have an impact on them, a lot of times you don't even know the impact that you're having. And I think what you just said about, you know, about us and what we did before and having that conversation, like, I'm not envisioning our podcast being a part of an interview process that might help somebody who's on the podcast eventually get a job. I'm not thinking about that in any way, shape, or form when I'm sitting here talking to the people that we've had on the show. And yet, it happened. And I think that speaks to, again, just the type of impact that you can have and the type of impact that you want to have. And the thing that strikes me about you and just the way you answered that question about being an African-American head coach at the Division I level is that you're looking at this as a privilege, that you're one of the people that was chosen to sort of lead the way, as opposed to looking at it as maybe a burden where, oh, I'm carrying this weight for everybody who comes behind me. Instead, you're looking at it as, man, it is an honor to be able to carry that with me so that I can make sure that I'm doing it right so that the next group of guys behind me gets an opportunity. I think that's got to be just, again, it adds a whole nother level of, I guess, excitement. For me, I'm excited for you just because of the opportunity that you're going to have to do that, not only for yourself, but what you may be able to open up for guys that are coming behind you.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And I'm glad, I'm excited that you're excited because it means everything to me, you know, and there's a bunch of people rooting for our program, which is awesome. I mean, you feel that. I think now, like, today I got a text message from, you know, an assistant in the Big East that I don't know great. And he just asked, like, hey, can you help me with my head coaching book? And can I ask you some questions? And I said, yeah. I was like, I don't have all the answers. I don't have any answers. We're trying to figure it all out. But I was glad to help. I was glad to have the conversation. I mean, that's what it's about. And I think sometimes we don't collaborate enough in our business. I think sometimes we don't share enough. We don't talk enough with each other. Like, I get it. We got to recruit against each other. We got to compete and win games. But everybody has really cool stories. We can help each other in our own way. And, you know, when you get into this process, it gets super competitive. But what's meant to be will be. You know, I went through this process against, you know, one of my close friends. And we'd laugh about it, you know, at night, because it was like whoever the best man for the job is going to get it. And what's meant to be will be. And that was fine. And it didn't hurt our relationship not one bit. And I think, you know, it needs to be more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when you build those kinds of relationships, then you're able to understand and you'll be able to compete. And at the end of the day, you can both walk away from that experience and look each other in the eye and know that, hey, this wasn't the right opportunity for you and your opportunity is going to come. And I think it's a credit to both of you guys that that's the way that you handle it. And I want to go, and I got two things that I want to ask you about before we wrap up. And the first one is, from a recruiting standpoint, how do you go about, you get the job and you've got to start identifying some players that you're going to want to eventually hear, be able to recruit. So how do you do that? What does that process look like as you're starting to put together that list from one day you're not the head coach, suddenly now you are, and you got to start putting this together? How does that work?
Yeah, you're leaning on the same relationships, you know, that I used at Marquette, especially with the Northeast kids here. And I was shocked, like, you get inundated with text messages and phone calls about players, like people you know and you don't know, because there's opportunity, I think, and then also people want to help. So you got to scrub through that. Then it's different. I mean, you can't go into the gym. You got to watch film. Hamlin's been awesome. Matt's been awesome. You know, they brought guys to the table because Matt was a high school coach, and then Hamlin, you know, was recruiting some guys, you know, that could come potentially to our program. So we just sat through and just watched film. I mean, watch highlights, watch synergy, watch edits, and watch games. We just sat, you know, and we're ironically, you know, living on campus. So we finish, we go back, get something to eat, and we sit on the couch and watch more games, and we talk about that. It was pretty cool. But one of the things we did is I said to the guys, okay, let's come up with like 10 or 12 characteristics of the guys we want to coach. And we just put them on a piece of paper and we threw it up on the wall. And I said, like, all right, when we're talking about the guys that we're thinking about recruiting, they got to fit those 10 or 12 words. And if they don't, now we got to defend why we're going to bring them into our program. And it really helped the conversations. It helped guide us towards one kid or another, or say, like, I don't know about this guy, but this guy could be really good. And I think it's something that really helps me, because now there's a standard that we set for the guys we want to try to bring in, because it, like, there was an immediate instinct of like, oh, wow, this kid wants to come. Let's take him. But what if he's the wrong kid? That's not right for him. That's not right for our program. So we got to get a really good fit. So really, they're like fit words. You know, we got 10 or 12 words of the kind of guys that we want to coach here in our program. And we got to find the guys that fit that. But then also there's the need, you know, like we have to upgrade certain things on our personnel and when I say upgrade, just adding the right pieces to help us get to where we're trying to go next season and beyond. Because there's some good players here that are still here, that are coming back next year. And then there's an opportunity because of graduation or a couple guys that decide to leave to bring some guys in. So we want to create the best fit to create the best team. And I said to those guys that decide to come back, you know, this is all a puzzle. You know, the pieces all got to connect and be a really good fit. And, you know, what we don't want to do is bring guys in that don't become the right fit. But then we have locker room problems, because our culture and that mentality we're trying to create is going to be key to our success and our growth.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/team pricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com. All right, so if you can build the right culture, let me ask you a basketball question. How do you you obviously have an idea of the way that you want to play, but you also have to be mindful of sort of what your personnel is capable of doing. So when you start formulating what your offensive system is going to look like, what your defensive system is going to look like, how set in stone is that at this point, and how much of it is a work in progress based on what you see between now and next fall when you get into the workouts, you see who the recruits are that you're going to be able to bring in. Where are you in terms of putting together the basketball system that you're going to play under?
Yeah, we have to get there, you know, and it's a journey to get there. I think the most important thing right now for me, and especially when I had a chance to talk to some guys that are head coaches, is you have to adjust to what you have. And you got to make sure those guys can be successful. And then you have your ultimate goal of how you want to play. You got to slowly get there. And if you can get there fast, great. But right now, what I'm doing, you know, in these spring workouts with our staff is just learning our guys. Like, I want them to play off their instincts and tell me who they are. And then from there, we'll adjust. You know, we'll adjust as we build our roster. We'll adjust as we get to know our guys. And then that's going to tell us what the best way to play is for our team. And then at that point, I think in July, we'll start to install and build our defense. We'll start to install and build our offense, give them the right habits and the right techniques. And I think the big part of it, too, is like all be on the same page about our communication. Like we all got to be saying the same thing. And that's really hard when you bring, you know, a brand new staff together, guys that have been in different places saying different things. So we got to all be connected in that part. So I think there's a learning process for your staff, and there's also a learning process for your team. And then we'll take them through that journey. And then in the fall, we're really taking off. But I think the best part that I'm really excited about is when we get our team here in the summer. That's where we got to, you know, we're going into it with an idea, but when we come at it, we got to know exactly who we are as we prepare for the fall.
Do you put together a team dictionary, a terminology that you share with coaches and players? Is that something that's on the plan, or how do you go about making sure you're all speaking the same language?
Yes. So I guess it's the first time I've ever said this, but by the time it comes out, it'll be fine. We hired, you know, our operations director from Marquette. And I mean, he's a stud. He's organized, he's detailed. He knows generally like what we want to do here, what I want to try to do here for the program. So we have a terminology sheet. And ironically, you know, during the year, we kind of built it, played with it. And then he helped me create it, you know, for my interview process. I just kind of wanted to have some of that stuff. And now he's our director of operations. You know, he'll be the point person for that stuff with our staff. So we have it. And what I'm hoping to do is, you know, like you forget, like you're lucky, you know, you go into practice at Marquette and yell commando and everybody runs to their spots and they know what they're doing. That's commando drill. And we yell alley drill, everybody runs to their spots and know what they're going to do. I get down to Albany, I yell alley drill and everybody starts looking around. I don't know what you're talking about. We got to make sure that everybody learns the drills and the habits and the techniques that we want to create. And these guys are bringing really good ideas. So then they're teaching me some drill. Hey, we could do this drill. I love it. Let's do it. Because I want to make sure our staff has ownership in what we're doing. I want them to own their space. Like, I don't want this to be a place where it's just my voice or it's just me doing, you know, a bunch of different things. Like, I want everybody's print to be all over the program because we got to do it together. We got to grow together. Got to learn together. We got to push our team together.
Do you think that's going to be easy or hard to navigate? In other words, the delegation of this is your first time being the guy who's the ultimate decision maker. So that's a role that you're stepping into that you haven't had before. And yet at the same time, you're saying, I've got to also be able to allow my staff to be empowered, to be able to do things and make some decisions and have input. So how do you anticipate walking that line between I'm the ultimate decision maker versus I'm empowering my staff and my players to make decisions so that they have ownership in the program?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things. Setting roles is going to be really important. I told these guys, like, I want to have hard conversations, especially in our conference room. I want to be challenged. And if you have conviction about something, let's talk about it. But when we walk out of that conference room, we got to be aligned together. And, you know, what I'm going to do with our staff is, you know, give everybody roles. and kind of lead roles on things. Like, you know, we'll have an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams guy to kind of have be responsible for different things. That same person will run our player development program. So, you know, at that point, I'm hoping that that gives us a smooth and efficient workflow. But, you know, there's going to be moments where it's choppy too. That happens in any program. And I think there's a health in that, because if everybody's quiet, just saying everything's great, that can't be. There's no way you're doing everything perfectly, right? So I think, you know, sometimes, like, yeah, you're right. You know, if, you know, we're all kind of marching in one order and one guy goes off to the side, that might be the right direction to go to. Let's figure that out. And if it is, let's go. If we got to make adjustments on defense, let's talk about it. And if that's the right thing to do, then we'll do it, because it's what's best for the guys, for our team, you know, for when we compete. Because, again, like, if you bring your ego into it, if I'm just acting like, hey, I'm the head coach and I finally get the whistle, like finally get the control, that's not right, because I'm not going to have all the answers. And, like, Matt's been a head coach before. Like, he went into the Palestra and won a Catholic League championship. That's big time. You know, Hamlet, you know, he's been at Vermont. He's impacted winning. Like, he's held the clipboard with John Becker at Vermont in some big moments. So they bring all that with them. And the rest of the staff will do the same thing.
It's such, I think, a challenge to make sure that you're doing both of those things, that you are putting your stamp on what you wanted to do, and you're obviously setting the tone from the culture right from the very beginning. And yet at the same time, you want to make sure that everybody is getting on the bus with you and is sharing in your vision and is having input into that vision. And I would just imagine that as you go through, as you said, at times it may end up being choppy and you're going to talk it out with your assistants and talk it out with your wife, I'm sure, at times, and talk it out with your mentors and talk it out with people that you respect and figure it out as you're going along. What's been the most fun part? So let's take it back to the joy of being a coach. What's been the most fun part of being the head coach at Albany for the last couple of weeks?
Just hanging out with the staff, you know, hanging out with the guys. And, you know, it's with the staff, you know, you're working, but you're having fun working. You know, you're in the office at 10 o'clock at night, but you're having a good time. You know, you're in our apartment, you know, working late at night, waking up with each other. You have it kind of takes you back to college, to be honest. It's just a bunch of guys in the dorm room hanging out. And then with the guys, the funnest part is they believe. And that's an awesome feeling, because you don't know. When you walk down there, you have no idea when you run your first practice. You know, like, what if these guys don't believe in you? That would be hard. They believe. Like, I'm getting text messages. I'm loving workouts, coach. I love what you're doing. That feels awesome. It's a great feeling. And it's contagious. And, like, you wake up and you can't wait to feel it again. So you're excited about where the journey can go. And then, like, one of our players texted me the other night, like, coach, I feel like I've gotten so much better in this last week. It's been awesome. That's terrific. I mean, that's one of the best feelings that you could feel for me as a coach, that, you know, you're making a kid feel more confident and what he does, make him feel, you know, better about his talent and his growth. I mean, there's nothing better in the world than that.
All right, let's wrap up installment number one. What are you looking forward to over the next couple weeks? What's the next big task or the big moment that you're looking forward to in the journey?
Getting to know the campus. You know, it's harder because of COVID. You know, you don't.
Right.
You don't get a chance to meet the people. Like, the people make up the place. And I've met some really cool people. But it's all on Zoom. You know, I'm literally looking forward to meeting people face-to-face. And then connecting them to our program. I'm also looking forward to meeting, you know, the former players. You know, I'm really excited about that. There's been a couple guys that have stopped by, which is really cool. You know, hearing their stories and then getting those guys in front of our team. But I think it's just more connecting to more people that are in the community, both in the Capital Region and in our campus community, because I think that's just such a cool part of college. You know, working at a college or a university is, you know, when you get around kids and you get around people and they're all trying to be part of inspiring young people to be better and more prepared to take over society is awesome. So I look forward to that.
That's good stuff. All right. That is installment number one. Dwayne, before we get out, we're going to do this every time, but share how people can connect with you, connect with your program, give us your social, give us the Albany website, and then I'll wrap things up and we'll let people know what's coming up next.
So it's funny you asked me that question. I actually got to look it up because I don't know about her. on Instagram, it's UAlbany_MBB. Now, I need some help. We got to grow that account because there's not enough people on it.
All right, Hoopheads, get out there and follow. Get out there and follow UAlbany men's basketball.
UAlbany_MBB. And this is bad. I don't even know my own Instagram. It's terrible. It's DKillings is my Instagram. And then my Twitter, I got to look that up too. This is horrific. I don't know.
I think you're Coach Killings DK, I think.
It's Coach Killings DK is my Twitter handle. And, you know, email us, hit us up. We love to be able to answer any questions or collaborate or build, you know, any type of cool programs or ideas because, you know, there's an opportunity to grow. So the more we can grow the game and we can help each other grow, the better.
As we said off the top, the plan is we are going to follow Dwayne and the University of Albany men's basketball program for the next year. And we are going to jump in and out with him we're going to try to do 3 times a month. So about every 10 days, we're going to jump on and do an episode and just kind of follow his first year as a men's basketball head coach at the Division I level. We think it's going to be fascinating. We think it's going to be educational. We think you're going to learn a lot about what it takes to be successful as a college basketball coach. And most importantly, we're looking forward to deepening our relationship with Dwayne and learning more about what makes him tick and finding out all the ins and outs and the things that go on behind the curtain of a Division I basketball program. So Dwayne, we are looking forward to that. We appreciate you tonight, and we are going to really look forward to working with you throughout the next year to make this series here on the Hoopheads Pod a very, very special one. So we appreciate you being on with us tonight. Look forward to the next one, and to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.